Man, praise the Lord, everybody. All right. How many are glad to be here? Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to open your Bibles here tonight. And I am so honored, so glad to be here with every one of you. One more night, one more time. You know, we're singing a song as you're opening up to Romans 8:26 and 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I won't sing it because they just did a great job. And if I start singing, you are going to leave. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to do that. But they were singing a song right now, is, you know, by and by. And we're talking about, you know, when that day comes that we're no longer on this earth and we're raptured away and we're in heaven. You know, we're in eternity walking with Jesus Christ. We've made that goal, that place that we preach about, talk about, think about, amen, that we're reaching for. And we talk about, man, that's going to be an amazing moment. Now, I just want y'all to think about that because the Bible says to comfort one another with those words. That this is not our home. Amen? I got anybody here that says, hey, this is not my home. I'm just passing by. It has nothing to do with my message, but I'm just glad that this is not my home. I'm glad that this is not it for me. I heard one pastor say at a funeral, it was actually my grandfather's funeral, last year, and this pastor, he said it so well. He said, you know what? If all you have, if you don't believe in God, then all you have in this life is to invest in this world. He said, so you better live it up. He said, but for the rest of us, we've got eternity to think about. He said, so we're not living just for now. He said, all of you, all your hope is just in the days that you're going to live here. But for us, we're thinking about eternity. We're thinking about where we're going to be. We're thinking about streets of gold. I'm thinking about peace and glory and walking with the Almighty God. Would somebody clap your hands just for a moment, because this is not my home. I'm just passing by. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and I want to honor your pastor, your pastor's wife, and I'm going to kind of speed through all of this. I love them very much, but let's give them a round of applause, if you can, for a moment. They're great people of God. They love the Lord. Very sincere about revival and about the work of God. And I honor my wife and my son, who I love very much. He is a trooper. My wife is a trooper as well. They love God so much. And my wife really doesn't like to miss any of these services, you know, even if she's feeling tired or even if my son's, you know, halfway asleep or awake, we don't know, whatever. Anyways, but she loves to be here. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for them. I love them. You can give them a round of applause too. That's all right. Amen. Romans chapter 8, Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. Everyone say intercession. Say a little bit louder, intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let's put your Bibles to one side and let's ask the Lord to be with us here tonight and to align our heart with His will. Jesus, we thank You for the privilege to be in this house. Would You anoint my mind? Would You loose my tongue? Would You lift Your voice with me, church, right now? Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be here, for every miracle You've already done, for everything that You've done in this house and everything that You're going to do. We thank You. We love You, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the honor and all the glory, and I pray that a spirit of intercession would flow into this place. Take us deeper here tonight as we reach and pray for this city and for this world. We thank You and we love You, Lord God, for what You're going to do. Would You clap your hands unto the Lord one more time? Would You do that, everybody in this house? Yes. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a brief moment about intercession. And if I can title it, it'll just be entitled, God Needs an Intercessor. God needs an intercessor. Intercessory prayer, and I'm going to teach, but I'm also going to preach, so that's what we call treach. All right? Is that okay? So just hear me, and we'll get somewhere, I promise. But by the end of this service, what's going to happen is there's going to be a burden of the Holy Ghost flow in over this place. There'll be a bit of a heaviness. And as you catch on with that burden, you'll begin to pray prayers that God desires, things that God desires to do. but he's just waiting for us to connect with those prayers. All right? Amen? So intercession is very simple. It is a particular prayer for a particular thing at a particular time. It's just very easily explained that way. There's no deeper or more intense communion with you and God, or your spirit and God, than intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer, if I can break it down a little bit more, is literally just praying the burdens of God, praying the desires of God. God, obviously, we understand, is very selfless. We know this. He came, robed himself in flesh, and when he did that, he died on the cross, and we realize that was for our sins, for us. And he did not need to do that, but because he is selfless and because of love and his love for us, he did that. And so God enjoys when other people love the way that he did. Amen? You all believe that? That doesn't mean that we need to go die on the cross, because the reality is your death would do nothing for us. Amen? Because we're all sinners. Okay. That's another message, another time. So when Jesus came, you know, he died on the cross, he became a great intercessor. And so when you begin to intercede, what literally happens is you stand in the gap between God and a particular situation, a particular thing at a particular time. And so I believe that God does not care until you care. And you might say, well, how could you say that, Brother Jesse? And obviously what I mean is that God, he obviously cares. We realize that, but he will not move or do something until the people of God begin to take on the burdens and the desires of God. And so therefore, the Bible tells us that how can they be saved except the preacher is sent. And so a preacher comes, for example, to Santa Maria and begins to give Bible studies and preach and teach. And now we're all here because of what that great man of God did. And so what this great man of God also is doing. And so people are standing in the gap selflessly between God and a particular situation, and they are mediating, if you will, those prayers that God desires to do. And so tonight, these are the most important prayers, really, that we can pray beside relationship prayers, is an intercessory prayer. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you will, if you can put it on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 14, the Bible says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." And we're talking about speaking with other tongues. "But my understanding is unfruitful." So when I'm speaking in tongues, I don't understand what I'm saying. How many of you can say amen to that? All right, that's everybody. And so verse 15, what is it then? And Paul is writing to the church and he says, "I will pray with the Spirit." In other words, I will pray with other tongues. I will pray with the unction of the Holy Ghost flowing through me. And the evidence of that is when I begin to speak with other tongues. And then he says, "And I will pray with the understanding also." And the understanding literally just means your own language, your own understanding. And so we'll break that down a little bit more. It says, "And I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." And so praying with your understanding many times is the way that we pray. We pray, "God, would you do such and such for this and that? And God, I really need this, and I really am asking for this and that and the other." How many can say amen to that? We've all prayed prayers for ourselves. They're often the most common prayers that we pray, is the prayers in our understanding. They're valid prayers. They're good prayers. Absolutely. If you've got faith, when you pray, anything is possible. We believe that. We've talked about that. But there is a particular prayer that is prayed with the Spirit, or in the Spirit, with other tongues, that is an intercessory prayer that literally moves heaven and earth. Literally moves things all over this world, and God begins to do the miraculous right then and right there. And so anyone that's prayed any time at all, you all know that God does not always respond to prayers right away. Would you say amen to that? Some of you are still praying for family members or people or things or situations, but there are particular prayers, a particular prayer of intercession, that God begins to move right then and right there in that moment. Now, you have that type of power with God. Would you say amen? And so in this understanding of intercessory prayer, we can literally begin to pray the desires and the burdens of God. Now let me explain. Moses, the Bible says, was on the mountain, and God looks to Moses, and God looks to the children of Israel that are down the mountain. The children of Israel are naked, and they're running around crazy, and they're sacrificing their children to this golden calf as they're looking at this golden calf, saying, "You're the one that brought us out of Egypt," and so on. And God looks to Moses and says, "Moses, I'm going to wipe these people out, and I'm going to give, no longer am I going to give them a nation and a promise and a land and so on." He says, "But I'm going to make of you a great nation and a land and a promise and so on." And Moses looks to God and says, "God, wait, hold on. These are your people." And he begins to remind God, "These are your children. This is the promise that you gave to Abraham." And he goes on and on and on about the promises that God gave to Abraham already. And so what happens is Moses is literally praying God's burden and God's heart. And when he does that, the Bible says that God responds and says, "Let me go that my wrath may wax hot." And so it makes me think that Moses had such a strong hold on God in that prayer. Would you help me out, my brother? That Moses had such a strong hold on God in that prayer that God could not get away from Moses. I want you to think about that. How many have gone to prayer and you've wondered, "God, where are you? God, are you near? Are you there? What's going on? I don't feel you." Well, this was not the case. It was the opposite, the other way around. God is saying, "Hey, let me go. That prayer you're praying is too close to my heart. I'm going to have to answer it if you keep on praying it. Because that's something that I desire to happen." And if you begin to pray, thank you, my brother, if you begin to pray a prayer that God desires, you begin to pray for something that God himself desires to be prayed and to be done, there is no one in this world, on heaven and earth and hell, in any other place that can stop that type of prayer. And so you have that power with God as a believer if you will pray intercessory prayers. And so an intercessor oftentimes is selfless, is somebody that says, "You know what? I am going to pray. I've got a lot of needs." How many of you got a lot of needs? You got situations you're praying about. But one day you come to prayer, maybe on your Thursday night prayer meeting or whenever it may be, and you're there in your prayer closet and you say, "God, I've got a lot of needs, but today I want to pray your burden for whatever it is that you want to be done. I'm going to allow you use my body to pray those prayers." I want you to understand, the moment that you begin to do that, you'll feel that burden and that passion of God. And all of a sudden, if you have the Holy Ghost, you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God will use your body to begin to pray. And all of a sudden, in the supernatural, you may not even know what's going on. But I'm telling you, you can literally be reaching an entire nation. You can literally be reaching somebody that was on the brink of death, or somebody that was getting ready to commit suicide, and all of a sudden they said, "Well, I saw an angel, and I believe that God was saving me." But what they didn't know is there was somebody in the church back home that was praying the will of God, that was saying, "God, use me to pray your will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done in this world." And so God is going to allow us to go deeper here tonight in understanding intercession and being able to pray this type of prayer. Now, this is not for our needs. This is not, turn to your neighbor and say, "This is not for you." All right. Because God desires to do some things all throughout this world, and I believe even throughout this city. And tonight, as we begin to pray here in a moment, you'll begin to pray the burdens of God, and you won't know what you're praying. And you'll begin to speak with other tongues, and as that happens, people in this world, people in their homes, in their rooms, all by themselves, looking for an answer, their heart is already open and ready. God is going to begin to move in the supernatural. But what God is waiting for is somebody like you and I that says, "You know what, I'm not worried about the schedule or what's going on. I'm ready to pray the prayer that God desires me to pray so that I can be effective in my prayer life and walk with God." It was Peter who was in between two guards. I mean, chained up here to these guards. You got to think about this. And Peter was going to be beheaded the very next day. The Bible says the church got together and began to pray. And they prayed without ceasing. You know what that tells me? They weren't worried about the tacos they were going to eat after service. Is that all right? They weren't worried about what was going to happen later on tonight or what was going to happen, you know, tomorrow. Man, I've got this going on. I've got that. No, they realized, look, there is a situation. There is a man of God named Peter that has given his life to God, and he is about to die. If we don't pray, he's going to die. What they realize is there is no other answer. There is no other way. And I believe that we've come to that place here today that we realize there is no other way this world is going to be saved. There is no other way that your situation is going to change. There is no other way that those that have backslidden are going to come back to God. The only way it's going to change is if God intervenes. But God is waiting for somebody here today to bury their face in an altar and to say, God, I'm not going to leave until something changes. I'm not going to leave this prayer room until something happens in this world. So anything can happen in a moment of intercessory prayer here today. And I want you to know that Peter, in the end of that story, was miraculously freed by an angel, came right through the wall, took Peter through as well, and delivered the man of God simply because the church decided we've got to pray. And if we pray, anything can happen. I believe here today that prayers absolutely are powerful. This is how we walk with God. This is how we have power with God. But what greater prayer than to pray the desires of God? Now, this is going to be real elementary, all right? This is not going to be anything deep or anything like that, but this next thing I want to tell you now, a lot of you are parents, some of you are parents, every one of you has been a child to somebody somehow, some way, and you know, in my home, you know, my dad, he'd always tell, take out the trash, you know, and my mom would tell us to clean our room all the time when I was a kid. Anybody, you know, anybody ever been there before? Raise your hand, say amen, something, all right. Now, let me ask you a question. If your teenager or, you know, yeah, we'll keep it at teenager, came up to you and said, you know, Dad, I'd like this Saturday, I would really like to go ahead and wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning and I'll make my own breakfast. Don't worry about it. And I'm going to go ahead and clean out the entire garage. And after that, I'm going to mow the lawn. You know, thank you, brother, for amusing me there for a moment. He laughed his head off for a second. All right, appreciate that. Because that's not very likely. Amen? So your teenager comes up and says, you know, would you go ahead and let me do that? You know what, Dad? As a matter of fact, just go ahead and sleep in this Saturday. I've got this one covered. You don't worry about anything. Now, I never did that to my dad. You know what I mean? Maybe I wish I would have. No, not really. Anyway, and there's no parent in their right mind. You know, your daughter comes up and says, well, Mom, you know, I'm going to wash all the dishes right after we're done eating. And I'm also going to go ahead and cook for the next 3 nights. And I'm going to clean everything. You don't worry about nothing. I got a couple of funny faces from the young people here. All right. And so, you know, and the reality is this. There is no mom or no dad that would say, you know what? Don't worry about it. You sleep in, I'll clean the garage. Thank you. Amen. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and eat a couple more pieces of this and I'll wash the dishes and I've got these meals covered. You don't even, thank you for the kind gesture. I appreciate that, but don't worry about it. I've got this one covered. Right? So how much more God, when you decide, okay, God, it's not maybe what I want to pray about, but I realize it's something you want to pray. You want it to be done. Therefore, I will team up with you to pray that particular thing. Now, that's how powerful that bond is when you begin to intercede. It's not something that is for people that are selfish or say, well, I got this going on, that going on. But it takes for people that are going to be selfless and say, look, I'm not going to pray today what I want to pray, but I want to pray what God God wants me to pray. And if he begins to move on my heart to do or pray in a supernatural way, to pray an intercessory prayer, then I'm going to begin to do that. And I'm telling you here today that something will begin to happen in this very moment as you begin to team up with God and pray those intercessory prayers. There is nothing and nobody that can stop those prayers from happening. As a matter of fact, I believe that when I begin to intercede, that something is happening at that very moment and at that very time. And I remember, I've got to move on, but I remember a lady in my dad's church. She's a great intercessor, and the Lord woke her up, she said, around 4 in the morning. And that's not a very good time to wake up in the morning. You all still with me? Amen? All right, 4 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, I don't try to make that my practice. But anyways, she was up, not of her own accord, not of her own will, but of the will of God. And so as she got up, she said she tried to wake up her husband, you know, try to get him up. And he was sound asleep, so it was obviously God, you know, after a couple of nudges. And she got up and went to the living room and said, all right, God, what is it you want me to pray about? What is it you want from me, God? And so she began to pray, pacing the floor back and forth, and began to talk to God at 4 in the morning. And so there she is, speaking with other tongues, and she began to feel a burden, she said, come over, and she couldn't help it. And so she began to continue to pray in tongues. At that point, you don't need to pray in your language anymore. At that point, you let the Spirit of God pray through you. And so she said, you know, after that prayer, I felt the burden lift, and the Lord actually showed me something, and the Lord told me to call my brother. This is what she said. I want you to realize how much in tune with God you can become when you begin to intercede. And she said, the Lord told me to call my brother, and so I called my brother. But before I did that, I said, God, I don't want to do that. It's 4 in the morning. My brother's asleep. And God said, no, go ahead and call. And so she said, no, God, I really don't want to do that. After the third time, she said, all right, fine, I'll call. So she called her brother, who would have been asleep at 4 in the morning on a normal basis, but this time she calls, and who's awake? Her brother. And he says, hey, how's it going? And she begins to talk. Well, God woke me up, and he's not saved. He doesn't know about the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. And she says, God woke me up and told me, you know, to pray for you. And so I felt to do that. And is everything okay? And he said, well, you know, I was there sleeping at, you know, at mom's house last night. Me and my wife aren't really, you know, talking to one another right now. Things have been going wrong. Things have been kind of bad in our marriage just within the last day or two. And she said, you know, that's really interesting. She said, because when I was praying, she said, I saw a vision when I would begin to intercede. And when I begin to intercede, I was there in your kitchen, she said. And when I saw in this vision in this kitchen, she said, I couldn't go past a particular part in the kitchen. And she said, is there something there maybe in that kitchen that's causing, she said, all I could see was this black something in that kitchen. Is there something there that's going on? He said, well, that's crazy you mentioned that, because the whole argument started with a Buddha statue that's in our kitchen, and my wife wanted me to give offerings and alms to this Buddha, but I told her I don't believe in that stuff. And so this whole argument started because of what was going on in the kitchen. And she realized God had me begin to pray for my brother because he was in a particular situation at a particular time. See, God cares when you care. Can you imagine the people that can be reached with only a moment's time if somebody would say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Save somebody. Save Santa Maria. Save California. Save the United States. Save this world, God. I'm not going to pray another prayer for myself until your will is done. I'm telling you today that we can pray these prayers here in this house, in this moment, tonight. And God is going to do that. People, I believe, will be saved. They will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ after tonight's prayers. How many of you believe that? Let's all stand right there where you're at. I'm not going to take a long time, but I want to, there's so many other things, but I want to give you time to pray. That's the most important thing. And I'm going to tell you this. It was a great man of God. His name's Billy Cole. He passed away a while ago, and his wife and himself had gone to Singapore, And at the time, there was only 35 people in 2 years' time that had received the gift of the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. He says that his wife and himself got into a hotel room and began to pray, and they began to intercede specifically. They began to pray the burdens of God for that particular city and country. And he said within 21 days' time after those prayers, he said after we were on the floor and after tears coming down our eyes and us beginning to team up with the purpose of God for that particular place, he said there was over 600 people that were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name in only 21 days' time. I'm telling you, anything is possible if we will put our own will to one side just for a moment and say, God, I'm willing to pray whatever you want me to pray. An intercessory prayer doesn't say, God, I'm done now, I'm going to get up and go. Intercessory prayer is submitted to the... I feel the Holy Ghost already coming in right now. And some of you feel that tug and that burden. And that burden is going to begin to flow through you. And you're going to begin to pray the prayers of God. I'm going to tell you this last thing here before we come pray. It was just a couple of months ago, I was at a dinner table, and there was some great men of God that I honor and respect. And one of them was Brother Stone King. He was at the end of the table, and my pastor was there next to him, and there was another great man of God, Art Wilson, there on the table. And I remember as we were all sitting there with several other preachers and great men of God, we were talking, and Brother Stone King got to saying, everyone, why don't we go ahead and pray for revival in the Muslim nations? And I got to thinking, who prays for an entire nation? You have that type of power. You have that type of power with God to pray for an entire nation, for the entire Muslim nations to believe that God can bring revival. And so we begin to pray right then and there. We all agreed. We bowed our heads, and I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, this burden of intercession that I'm preaching to you about came over me, and I couldn't help it. I begin to speak with tongues, and the Spirit of God began to speak through me. And I felt that burden of intercession right after we were done and the burden lifted there at the dinner table. This wasn't a service. This wasn't an ordinary prayer time. Right after that, I remember Brother Art Wilson, he spoke up and he said, you know what? He said, when we begin to pray for the Muslim nations, when we began to do that a moment ago, he said, there were angels. I saw them come in from every side. They stood all around us. He said, they drew their swords, and at the end of that prayer, they left again. And I believe that they went to go accomplish the will of God and bring revival in those Muslim nations. I don't know here today who you're going to reach with your prayer, but I'm telling you that absolutely anything can happen if you say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Would you go ahead and would you come down to this altar here tonight? Just come quickly. We're going to do this all together. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you feel like doing, but would you come very quickly? And I'm telling you, there is already a burden here in this house, in this building. And what I want you to do is don't go until God lets you go. Don't worry about what's going on around you. But if you will just for a moment, as you come, if you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to speak with other tongues. Can you do that? I want you to begin to speak with other tongues. You're going to begin to feel a burden way down deep in your stomach. At that point, I want you to let that flow right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some of you that are already intercessors, begin. Go ahead. That's it. Begin to flow in that place of intercessory prayer. That's it. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. Go ahead with groanings that cannot be uttered. I feel the Holy Ghost here in this house. I feel Jesus here in this house. Things are happening right now. That the will of God be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's it. You're praying a prayer that hell can't stop. You're praying a prayer that the enemy cannot stop here today. You're praying a prayer that is successful. You're praying a prayer that is reaching the throne of God right now. You're teaming up with what God desires here. That's it. Go ahead. Let your voice out. That's it. Yeah. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's something deep happening right now. There's something deep happening
right here in this building in the name of Jesus. Things are happening. People are going to be saved. People are going to hear the gospel. People who have dealt with depression and fear and every emotional situation and demonic oppression are going to be delivered here tonight because of your intercessory prayer in the name of Jesus. That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go deeper. That's it. Just give it over to God. Give it over to God. Yeah. That's it. There's great intercessors here in this house.